dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, John Bruce, and Bruce Knox.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to another exciting edition of the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. I'm Bruce Knox, along with John Bruce and Mr. Shane Combs. We'll be getting to them and bring them into the show. But first, we want to remind you that this and all of our shows have been brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Their telephone number is 740-773-PLAY. That's 740-773-7529. All kinds of fun under one roof at Triple Crown. You have, of course, the soccer that's always going on. Doesn't matter what time of year, it seems like soccer's going on out there. They have places for parties and events, the sports arcade, and super inflatable land. Don't forget also the limousine rental that I'm sure is very busy this time of year with prom and whatnot coming up, graduation and so forth. And you can find all the detailed information at TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com. Look them up on the web. We appreciate their patronage for, though, these many, many, many years. And I say that as we bring in first the junior sports nerd, Mr. John Bruce. John, how are you?
I'm doing well. Just celebrating one of the biggest sports comebacks of all time. Of course, I'm talking about Baltimore Orioles, Chris Davis finally getting into the hit column.
Okay.
Yesterday.
Thought you were going to go someplace else with that.
No, I'm big fan of Crush Davis, and I'm getting three hits last night to bring his season total up to three.
Okay.
Really, really impressive to me.
All right. Well, welcome in to John and, of course, Shane Combs sitting over there. How are you, Shane?
Oh, I'm doing great. Can you guys think about that for a second? 50 straight times at the plate there for official AB, and you don't accidentally get a hit at that level. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it went through. I was reading a thing the other day of every at bat and so forth. And, you know what I mean? It's like a lot of things. And I'm sure over the next couple of weeks, you know, the bloops or whatever will fall in for a 1-for-3 night, and we won't even hear about it or whatever. But that's unreal.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I might be able to stick the bat out there and get it to hit the ball, or the ball to hit the bat somehow.
Just some accident.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Well, we celebrate with them all over there. That is great. Well, guys, we're going to get right into our show here, show 248. I was asking Shane if we're going to do anything special for show 250, which is coming up, and I think we should strike a coin or something, a commemorative coin or something like that. But Shane's on the down low. He hasn't yet talked with the executive producers of the show. And so, you know, we'll just carry on, and you never know what might happen for show 250, but that's coming up in the future, a couple weeks away. We're going to get up into our three up, three down. It's brought to us by Crown Hill Golf Club, located at 9500 U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport. Call Kevin and the guys up there at 740-986-4653. Of course, you can look them up on the web to get all kinds of good information on them, crownhillgolfclub.com. Appreciate them as well. Gentlemen, three up, three down. The way we do this, similar to our headline segment from earlier this year, these can be headlines taken from the minds of Shane and John, and they usually are, about anything and everything that is directly or indirectly involving baseball or softball. Last week, I believe, I went to John first, so I'm going to switch things up and head to Shane for our first three up, three down. Shane?
Well, I thought John's little clever sports phrasing there at the beginning was really good. So I thought my first three up, three down would be a little Jim Nance reference, since we did have the Masters here this afternoon. John, I'm going to go with a league unlike any other. Mm. When you look at this – when you look at this baseball league, I know I'm biased. I get the email all the time about quit being biased, give the due to, you know, volleyball, give the due to softball, give the due to whatever. And I just, you know, I'll stand by just over the last 20 plus years that I've been a part of this league. It's just unlike any other thing you see in the SVC. It's just every single night out. It's just a battle. It's just, you know, you, as I said before, if you play decent, you're going to lose. If you play good, then you'll have a chance to win. It's one of those things where, just top to bottom, the balance, we have great teams, but even all the way down through, even the teams that lack a few pieces here and there have shown more than capable. And it's just it's a pleasure to be a part of. You know what I mean? I'm competitive as anyone. I go out and try to win every single night, and, you know, that's my goal and so forth. But when I step back, John, and allow myself to do this job, you know what I mean? Like on the weekend, mm-hmm. step away and instead of being coached, just be SVCSportsZone.com on SVC Sports Talk. I take time to really appreciate that. I mean, it's really something pretty impressive. The programs year in, year out. It's not like just this year. People are all shocked about this year. Guys, this is every year. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? This is the norm. I mean, this is every single year. Teams all over, top to bottom, just beating up on each other and very, very capable. And if people call me biased, that's fine, because I think the proof has been in the, you know, on the scoreboard, so to speak, over the last, you know, 15, 20 years. And it's unlike anything else I've seen. And it truly is a pleasure to be a part of.
All right, John, let's go to you for your first up, three up, three down.
I kind of went the same way. It's no gold ball in baseball this season. Mm-hmm. Thanks to the Westfall Mustangs. I mean, we're six games into the league season and we've already had every team lose at least once. Westfall's 8-1 win over Uniota, you know, guarantees for the fourth straight year there won't be a gold ball. And I know Adina won it in 2015, but there have not been very many gold balls in baseball because of how competitive the league is. Just top to bottom every year. You know, just looking back at 2013, Piketon finishes 13-1 in the league, and their only league loss is the Southeastern, who I believe won either one or two league games that year. So it's just, you never know each night. But I do want to give a shout out to Luke Blackburn for Westfall, who pitched them to two wins this week on Monday and Friday. Went 11 innings, gave up zero earned runs. Really impressive showing by the sophomore. Westfall won their three league games this week by a combined 28-2.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're playing really well. But, you know, a new week coming up. And like Shane said, the league is just – it's unlike any other league in the area, in my opinion, where, you know, some leagues are very top-heavy. And while the SEC at times might be top-heavy, the bottom – half of the standings are still really good. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it makes it to where, like Shane said, you got to have your A game every night.
Shane, you're up next on your second, three up, three down.
I'm going to go with a Mustang mission. I think throughout the softball, we felt like they were the team to beat. We certainly felt like Uniota closed the gap. We'd mentioned a couple other teams, Huntington. I think Zane Trace deserves a little credit there. Mm-hmm. John, maybe we overlooked them a little bit in the preseason. They're having a nice year. You know, then on the baseball side, obviously it's anybody's game. But I think you know, Westfall's just a really complete team. They're a team that has some depth on the mound. Gosh, their lineup's really, really athletic. And they're an impressive group. So I think the Mustang mission, Westfall just kind of setting a tone in both standings this week, letting us know in baseball that this is going to be a marathon. That, and again, what makes it so tough, John, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong here, because I know softball people are probably ready to throw something at me. But, like, I think the difference is on the softball side, taking Westfall and Uniota out of the mix, I don't know how many teams can beat them.
Right.
Head to head.
Yeah.
Where in baseball, you know as well as I do, I mean, goodness, Westfall has a ninth inning game to still finish with Huntington the next time around. And, you know, we just know night to night. I know at Westfall, we were in an extra inning game last week, lost 6-5. It was, you know, so it's just, you know, night in, night out in baseball, it's a marathon. It's a grind. Where in softball, I know Huntington played Westfall tough to what, a 2-0 game.
Yes.
And some different things there. But the combination that Westfall pitches with the way Dudgeon started to throw, and then obviously the way they hit, it seems like they just routinely hit 2-3 bombs a night. You know, the other night they hit 4. Mm-hmm. Gosh, it's just going to be tough for them to upset. So you could get all the way back to, if rain doesn't mess it up, oh, what would that be, John? That would be the league game 13. We could get all the way back to Unio to Westfall, and you could almost be staring at the same standings where – in baseball, I'm not saying that couldn't happen. I'm just saying that would be a much harder thing to predict, or a much harder grind to get there, so to speak. Is that fair?
I think it's completely fair. But what Westfall does, the show's going to drop after the game tomorrow, on Monday, where Westfall does travel to Zane Trace in softball, so that could be a big standings game and kind of a big proving game for Zane Trace also.
Yeah, yeah, good point.
All right, John, you're up. Number two.
I feel like me and Shane should probably talk about these things more because I'm pretty much along the same lines of I don't really have a – I was going to try to be creative, but it's just kind of just 4 home runs, power Westfall to first place by themselves. 3 home runs in the second inning. Liz Stonerock, Maddie Mullins, and Marcy Dungeon hit a home run in the second inning, their 5-run second inning, which really took over their game against Uniota. Stonerock went Yabo another time also for 2 in the game. Dungeon's pitching slows down Uniota's really good offense to get an 8-3 win. That's going to be a really interesting game the second time around. Just to see what adjustments Uniota does make to try to slow down that offense that Westfall puts out there. Really, 2 really good teams. I am interested to see what Zane Trace does with Westfall the second time, or not the second time around, but Monday. And then, you know, it's an interesting league. I do think certain teams can score with Union and Westfall, but I'm not sure if they can outscore them. Like, for instance, the 16-9 Union to Paint Valley game from last week showed that Paint Valley can score with them. It's just giving up the more runs. I'm not sure if anyone else can knock off those two. I do think they are going to have to earn it a little bit more than I think what we kind of thought in the preseason.
Shane, you're up. Number 3.
Well, I wanted to a rebounding week for the Warriors is where I wanted to go. I thought, you know, in the baseball, obviously Adina set a precedent over the years where, you know, their expectations be at the top of the standings. Now on the softball side, I know that this was a year talking to a lot of people around the softball league and kind of following some of these kids that they really expected to make more of a push into the middle of the pack and see how far up they could compete. Well, both kind of got off to a bad start, and this past week they started to show some signs. I know Garrison and Kunkel really threw the ball well in the last couple games out, and the offense is starting to come. And, you know, they've quietly, John, kind of kept themselves right there in the standings. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Obviously, the teams at the top have drawn a lot of publicity there with Uniota and Zane Trace 5-1. Westfall still at 4-1 with that unfinished game, but – you know, the Dean at 4-2 right there, they even their overall record back up to 6-6. Keep in mind, a lot of those kids come in late from basketball, as we highlighted there in the winter. Just in coaching against them, that lineup's really, really good. It's really complete. So, you know, they're going to pitch and defend is what we've come accustomed to with the Adina Warriors. When they start to hit, they're going to roll too. And I think the softball team started to show some signs this week. They get a couple wins. It looks to me, in studying some of the bombs page and being out at the Indy Haynes a little bit, that maybe they're sharing some athletes there on the softball track. And I know that's kind of tricky sometimes. I don't know if that's it'd be interesting to maybe talk to some coaches, because we just had this conversation about the different sports. And tonight we even talk a little bit more about playing the two sports at one time. But that's something interesting to me too, John, in terms of how sometimes that can slow a little bit, because people only look at it from afar and say, well, what's the big deal? You know, the your game's this night and your track meet's this night. Well, you know, there's this thing we call practice, you know, where we like get together and work on stuff together and so forth. So yeah, I don't know. It would just be interesting to hear from some different people to see, but the Edina Warriors were a particular team that came to mind there, Bruce, in terms of when I was looking at that, but they really both started to show signs, and this upcoming week will be really important for both of them as well.
John, you're our last batter up on three up, three down.
Yeah, I sort of thought Adina's baseball has won four straight to get back to 500. So it's, they're starting to turn things around and after that long basketball run. But I had a shortened week, should still cause some separation at the top. This week, Westfall travels to Zane Trace and Adina. We don't play on Friday for the holiday in the league. But then Adina travels to Unioto Monday and then hosts Westfall on Wednesday. Those three games could really start to separate and move things around near the top of the league, with, you know, Adina one game back of Zane Trace and Unioto and a half game back of Westfall. If they could get two wins, they are right back in the thick of things. We could easily have three teams tied with two losses after this, or could be even more separation. Just depends on how those games go, and it's should be a fun week, even if it's shortened. It's just and then also, you know, like I mentioned earlier, Westfall and Zane Trace softball, kind of a big game there, and it'd be good. I know Adina softball beat Unioto last year at Adina, so that could be a that could be a game to watch for also, because, you know, it's a lot of the same team for Unioto back from last year also. So while they're playing much better, that could be a kind of a sleeper game as they play Huntington on Wednesday.
Good job on the headlines, gentlemen. And in our three up, three down, up next, we look directly at the first half league races for baseball and softball. And we discuss how we have arrived here and where we think we're heading. Our next segment going to be brought to us by North Fork Animal Clinic Boarding and Grooming, available at 740-773-PETS, located at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe, where we care. North Fork Animal Clinic believes a good veterinarian has to get to know each and every animal being treated and the temperament of your pet, as they have likes and dislikes just like our people do. The practice is limited to small animals, so they get to know each and everything about their patients. They want to know them like family, and they want their owners to treat, or when they want to treat them like their owners want them to be treated. North Fork Animal Clinic, 740-773-PETS. We appreciate them. Gentlemen, you did a pretty good job of summarizing what's going on, but we've got to get a little bit further down in the trenches, so to speak, breaking down the league races. First question here, we've got three of them, I believe. What is something we've not yet seen that you believe we will see in the second half of the year that could impact the standings? Shane, I'll let you start with that.
Well, John, I'm going to say rain. We've been pretty lucky so far, haven't we? I mean, you know, I know in terms of you always try to map out your pitching. I know it's easier for some schools than others with the depth and so forth, but the, you know, so far we've been able to keep some things on track. We haven't had one of those situations, Bruce, where you get a Friday rain and, you start to look and all of a sudden you're going to play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yep.
Or So I guess that just to answer it simply would be rain, and that would be the reason. I know in softball it may not impact them as much, although I have had certain people say it is. You know, a lot of times your pitcher is stronger if she can stay on a Monday, Wednesday, Friday routine rather than throwing the three straight nights. Obviously in baseball, for sure, you start playing three straight nights, you're realistically going to need probably at least four arms, mm-hmm. Maybe five. So and you know, again, that's easier for some teams than others, and that's probably where you'd start to really see some separation. I think the one of the reasons for the competitiveness of our league so far is teams have been able to keep their best arms on the mound. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of times what happens is you see some of the separation when that takes place. So that would be the first thing that comes to my mind, John. Anything different?
My wording is wasn't what I really loved about it, but I'd say a major upset. Well, the top of the league has kind of separated itself standings wise. I don't know if I would even consider a game, any of the teams in the league beating another to be a major upset. But I guess if you look at it standings wise, it could be. None of that would surprise me. I know you guys have had, was it 3-1 run games in the league?
Yes.
So, yes. I know no one sleeps on Bay Valley Baseball, or Piketon. Huntington has shown that they can be competitive as they're playing, that, you know, postponed, delayed game, whatever, with, West Falls tied 3-3 in the ninth. Southeastern plays a unique style and has good pitching, to where they could knock anybody off at any time. I could see, you know, maybe if you say the top four teams in the league right now, standings wise, have separated themselves. We've already seen Payne Valley knock off Adina, go very close games with Unita, Westfall, and Zane Trace. So none of that would surprise me. So I think that's something that could shake up the baseball league big time, would be a quote unquote major upset, even though I'm not sure it would be to any of the other coaches. That kind of the way we look at the league is you got to be ready every day.
Okay, guys, number two on our question list here is, what about Westfall and Unioto baseball softball? What's putting them at the top of the rankings, John?
I would go, like, if I go baseball first, I would say the John Bruce factor. that would be obviously. My last year at Westfall was the seniors' freshman year.
Oh,
so,
I see.
Yeah. Okay. So that's, you know, I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
But seriously, pitching and timely hitting have been huge for both. Westfall's defense has been really good. Unio's defense hasn't been quite as good, and it showed at times in that with a couple of big errors that led to Westfall really blowing the game open. I think it was 3-0 on earned runs in the game. So, I mean, it's, if they can get that tightened up. The timely hitting, though, both teams are really solid throughout the order. And that can give you that can cause a lot of problems for the other team, because if there's no breaks. Now, on the softball side, both teams just can rake, absolutely crush the ball. Excellent defense, getting pretty good to really good pitching. And then the thing that I'll point out also is all four teams have some really good speed, and speed can impact games in so many different ways, put so much pressure on the defense. It also helps you defensively to cover more ground.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Shane, did he leave you anything there that he didn't mention that leads to Westfall and Unioto being at the top?
Well, I think, as we said earlier, this is coming more from some of our fan feedback. I think as a coach, I would make sure I throw in, you know, Zane Trace baseball and so forth, if you're going to start to throw this in there. I would say for me, and John kind of talked about it a little bit, it's just the overall depth is what's unbelievable. And playing both of these teams in a one-run game, I love what John said about the timely hitting. A lot of times the difference in a one-run game is, you know, in one half inning, you'll leave the bases loaded, and the next half inning, someone will get a two out hit. You know what I mean? That's, you know, a lot of times difference in the game. But it's just the depth. It's the versatility off the bench, having someone to pinch run, having someone to bunt, having someone to hit, having a defensive replacement. The depth of arms is unbelievable with those two. They just keep bringing arms at you. No matter what you're talking about, and as I was answering this question, I couldn't help but look at number three that you're going to be throwing at us here in a second, mm-hmm. Bruce, is they almost kind of go together, you know, in terms of what makes these two teams at the top, what makes it's the answer coming up here. It's just the depth of everything. You know what I mean? Like if you're in a one run game in the last inning, you're not going to have someone that can't score from second on a hit or can't score from first on a two out gap shot. If you need to lay down a bunt, if a pitcher's tiring at 100 pitches and you need another arm, you got it. You know what I mean? It's the word depth is what comes to my mind. It separates them over a 14 game draw, just grind in terms of, and these battles that you get into.
All right. Well, here's the third question you were alluding to. It says, assuming we all think pitching is the obvious answer, what position, skill, or other team characteristic could be something to watch in the second half of the year? I'll just kind of throw that out there. I don't know which one of you want to go first.
Well, I think I'll continue if it's okay, John. Yep. Like I said depth. I think what I would almost answer this question is, if fans are wanting to watch for something, watch for athleticism. You know, in terms of and when we watch basketball or football or volleyball or we watch these different things, we always think, John, we don't overlook athleticism. You know, speed jumps out at us, or strength jumps out at us, size jumps out at us. In baseball, softball, we don't always get that. But as you're watching some of your games and you're watching some of these really close games, watch for the range of a fielder, or the ability to run a fly ball down, or to knock a ground ball down, or, you know, again, like what I said, you know, being able to go first to third on a hit, or just in softball, being able to small ball and kind of get the ball on the ground and create offense. That's probably what jumps out at me is something that's really overlooked would be just the overall athleticism and how it can impact a game.
Okay, John, any thoughts there on what position, skill, or other team characteristic could be something to watch for in the second half?
Well, Shane's completely right. I went more to a position. The catching position will continue to have a huge impact.
Good answer.
In the
league. Yes.
I think we all knew, or at least had a good idea, how good like Caleb Vogelsong, Lane Larson, Mackie McDonald, Carson Spahn all were coming into the year, and you know you can kind of tell where their teams are overall and in the league on, you know, how valuable they are to their team and how good they are as just catchers. But I kind of want to just give a shout out to UNIO's Caleb Sparks for the job he's done so far and how hard he's worked. I know coming into the season, we were really concerned about the catching position. We tried a bunch of different guys out in scrimmages and Caleb just kind of stood out. He's got a strong arm. He's worked his tail off all year. He didn't miss a workout, anything like that. He's just a great kid. I'm just really impressed with how he's done. And I think that's our biggest concern is no longer a concern, and that's mm-hmm. kind of why you see UNIO's record as what it is right now, because of a kid like him. And I think he's kind of putting himself in there with the other really good catchers in the league. But it's something to really look for, because if you don't have a really good catcher, teams, especially in this league, can exploit that in a variety of different ways, and it can really impact a team.
Some good stuff there, guys. Athleticism and the catcher growing.
Hey, real quick on that, too. I think it's interesting. When we start playing 5-6 games in a week and the wear and tear, I think sometimes we overlook the impact it has on our catcher offensively.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know we've done our best this year to use Dane Miller as well, John, and trying to take some pressure off of Dane and Mackie offensively, where we're only a team right now in our situation that's about 9, maybe 10 deep on the roster. So, you know, we tried to look. I also looked on the softball side. if I'm not mistaken, I haven't seen him in person, but looking at the numbers, I believe Wheeler is catching Pinkerton and Fisher. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
For Uniaga? Yeah. So obviously athletically there, that's something. I apologize. I do not have Westfall's softball catcher in front of me, but I think in softball that plays a factor too in terms of the free bases and so forth.
All right. Good job. Next, guys, fan feedback. Once again this week, fans have been outstanding with the feedback from our two previous spring shows. So up next, we talk facilities, track, and sharing athletes. As we go to fan feedback, this segment brought to us by Crown Hill Golf Club again, 740-986-4653. Again, located in Williamsport, 9500 U.S. Route 22 West. And you can get all the skinny details, all the details at crownhillgolfclub.com. Give Kevin and the boys a call and tell them what you're kind of looking for, what your summer is going to look like, and they may just be able to put a package together for you. They specialize in that. Again, Crown Hill Golf Club. Guys, this is where we head into the mailbag, so to speak, and we've got three good ones this time coming up. First one, and Shane, you may have to kind of interpolate here for a little bit for me as well. Maybe you can kind of explain where you think this was headed, because it says one fan asked, wouldn't it make the most logistical sense to put the field turf on baseball and softball? I'll stop there. And is that vis-a-vis football? Is that what we're saying, or?
Well, that's the way I took it, because obviously when we think, I pretty much just have that particular phrase there to go off of. I would say, wouldn't you guys agree that the fans probably talking about how this has pretty much been a football, soccer type of field in terms of what they put on there? So when I hear that, I'm taking it as rainouts and scheduling, and sometimes in the spring. Again, we've been pretty lucky so far this year.
Snow and mud.
But how it's kind of can impact in terms of you start to get 3-4 straight days of rain, like just like it's done today. If we would get this, you know, 2 out of 3 days, it could just wreck an entire schedule, entire week of baseball, softball in our league. So I kind of took it in that way, in terms of, so I guess if you want to say it that way, sure, but good luck making the dollars and cents make sense to everybody on that arc.
Well, and that's kind of the rub, isn't it? That football, obviously, or football and soccer would obviously bring in more money and pay for it faster. Is that not correct?
Yeah, of course. You know, I mean, that's where, you know, no matter what level of football your particular school pays, just about every AD is going to tell you that your 4 to 6 home games you play every year is kind of going to drive a lot of your athletic budget. Mm-hmm. Obviously, depending on your basketball level you play, it helps. And then if some schools are a little bit bigger and offer soccer and have, you know, boys and girls and different things there, you know, their gates will add up as well. But yeah, I mean, I think that's where it comes from. But sure, in terms of scheduling, in terms of different things, I think the VA has served. Actually, the VA is something in an upcoming Great Seal Sports article I'm going to highlight in terms of how much it's meant to baseball, softball, different things in our area in terms of all the age groups. I know we played out there last week, John, and after us was a junior high softball game. Just age groups, all kids of all ages from all different schools, just getting an opportunity to have that experience. But to me, I understand the argument, but I think it's a dollar and cents thing that just it's not it's not a logical argument.
Okay, well, you spoke of the VA, John. The second part of this this question here is, does playing at the VA change a game much? I thought we'd go to you first on that.
I think if you are properly prepared, it does not. Now, if you don't come in with the proper shoes, it could definitely change the game. Last night, I watched a game out there where a player was held up rounding third, and his feet just went out from under him. Mm-hmm. So he gets in a rundown, gets tagged out, and then for some reason the catcher throws the ball into center field, which ends up being a huge play in the game. But the kid's slipping around third, which is probably not happening on a grass field with dirt. Mm-hmm. So I do think, and the ball goes faster. So if a ball gets hit into the right center field gap, it's at least a triple. Where at a normal, typical high school field, it might be a double. Mm-hmm. Because the grass is going to slow it down. Mm-hmm. So I do think there's different ways that it can really affect games. I think mostly it's the same game, but there are little things like, you know, but you could also cut your grass super low if you're if you want with your field maintenance, I guess you can sort of do it similar. But I do think it does impact the game. I like the fact that it's got to be horrendous for a game to be canceled out there. And, you know, I do like that. Now, financially, it's probably not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Until I win Powerball, and then I'll just give everyone the money to do it.
Okay, we've got you recorded on that now.
In the league, yeah. Well, just throwing that out there. It's got to be a big jackpot.
Oh, okay. But now there's qualifiers. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't say how big, but, you know, it would be awesome if we could do it. I don't know if it can make financial sense, but I do think the VA changes the game a little bit. Although not as much as I originally thought it would whenever they put the turf in.
Shane, John mentioned a lot about the turf and the speed of the ball and so on and so forth. What about the lights?
It certainly can. Now, you know, more and more kids are growing up under lights now and so forth, so they at least have some experience when that happens. I guess what was so interesting to listen to John talk there is he talked more of the surface, which makes sense because the question is talking about turf. I guess, John, when I read this question, I can't help but think that it changes it a lot because of just the ballpark. You know, like, for example, someone who's home field on a casual day, the wind will blow in at about 15 to 20 miles per hour. You know, then you'll go play at Zane Trace, and normally the wind will blow out. Westfall's normal wind, probably, what would you say, more of kind of a crosswind out right field kind of.
Yep.
You know, so each ballpark you coach at for 20 years, you think of it playing a certain way. Certain infields are fast, certain infields are short. So all of a sudden what happens is when you're hitting in the VA, it just becomes a harder ballpark to defend in sometimes in terms of its size. You know, you mentioned how fast the ball gets in the gap and so forth. But, you know, that's probably what comes to my mind in terms of the size of the ballpark and just a whole lot more green to cover, so to speak, mm-hmm. in terms of high school outfields, you know, over the years. So I think that's something that's certainly different. If I play a team at home and the wind's blowing in 20 miles per hour, and then I go play that same team at the VA, and, you know, in terms of on a regular night with a lot of gap space, there's a lot of different hitters that you're going to have to defend and pitch, you know, quite differently, in my opinion.
Okay. All right. So it does change quite a bit then, and in your mind anyway.
I think so.
Okay. Next question, you touched on this a little bit earlier, Shane, too. Any thoughts on the Andy Haynes track meet out at Paint Valley this week?
Well, my thoughts, John, not necessarily – because, again, we're a little early in the process to really start looking at athletes or looking at certain matchups because you don't have certain teams there or certain teams show up without certain athletes or whatever. You know, again, track's a different – it's different.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm learning about it and so forth. But I'll tell you what did jump out at me was, just the atmosphere, your track is something that I think there's about 12 different schools represented there that night, you know, girls, boys, and in terms of there's so many people there and it becomes quite an event. And I think what happens is I think that's the importance of the regular season, is giving some of these kids the opportunity to run in some of these environments. And that could possibly prepare them a little bit, maybe, for the nerves of an SVC or the nerves of the postseason. Obviously, there's going to be some different matchups in certain races where coaches are holding certain people out. You see it in relays big time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They'll kind of hide in the weeds, and it's almost like they're scouting the times. Hey, what's it looking like? What would be the best time that this particular team could put there? Can we beat that if we put our four together? Okay, we can't. Well, I'll take these four and I'll spread them out into these other events and stuff. So talking to track coaches, I had a chance to meet two or three track coaches the other night at that. That was interesting. And just kind of getting to know them a little bit. You appreciate how hard they work at it. And it's just like anything else. You know, there's things that are really difficult about coaching such a widespread range of athletes and not everyone's getting a huge paid staff, you know what I mean? So it takes a lot of volunteer help and a lot of dynamic. But to me, John, probably the atmosphere is what jumped out at me the most. And is, I think, as we get about a lot of times I'll hear after Easter, you know, about 2 to 3 more weeks, you'll start to see some people get real serious. I know there's a couple star athletes in the league. Again, I'm not about to be the one on SVC Sports Talk that leaks information for scouting. Right. I know there's a couple star athletes out there that are kind of nursing some midseason injuries. Nothing major, but just kind of, you know, just trying to get primed for the right time of year here. So here in about another week or two, I think we'll be able to really start gearing up some of our talk, Bruce.
All right. All right, guys, our third question, and this is a good one, I think. What is your experience or opinion on having a kid play softball or baseball and run track at the same time? Does that work? Is that good? I'm sure it makes some difficult decisions on the coach's part.
Now, I'm going to have to pretty much turn this over to Shane, because I don't think in 15 years that I've experienced that.
Huh.
Like, in all honesty, I don't think we have, and not even when I was in school did we have someone doing both.
All right, Shane.
Well, the interesting thing about that is one of the first questions I had in my notes to ask John was, anytime these things come up, I feel like it's a big school, small school question in a way. And the only reason I say that's not to say we don't have some really special athletes in our league that could do it at Uniote or Zane Trace or whatever, but like, it's just, you know, a lot of times the smaller school, it seems like, are probably the ones more open-minded to sharing athletes because you need them. You know what I mean? Yeah. You need the bodies, you need the athletes, whatever it might be. So I don't want to speak for a lot of coaches, and looking at both, it looked like I mentioned the Dean of softball. Look like, you know, the Lovelies were involved in doing some different things with some field events and some softball. I know Abby Stanforth is a terrific athlete. Like, your track is – gosh, I'd have to ask Abby to make sure. Coach Smith, I believe track is Abby's A sport. What happens, Bruce, is you have to pick an A or B sport at most schools. Uh-huh. So that if there's a conflict, you would already predetermine where you go. So like if Abby Stanforth, an elite female athlete there at Paint Valley, said that track is going to be my A sport, well, if something would happen where you'd have a track meet on one night and a softball game on one night, she would have to go to the track meet, as that's what she's established. Both coaches are aware of that up front. Both coaches agree and so forth. Well, you know, it's still very, very difficult on kids. I know earlier this year, just because of us being located right in the middle, I know Abby was running her hurdles in practice. And then I watched her, you know, a couple minutes, you know, about an hour later, she's in her softball uniform sprinting down past ours. Yeah. You know, she was the starting pitcher that night. So, you know, I mean, to me, it's tough. You know what I mean? It's not an easy thing. I think that, the other part of it, John, is sometimes when you have these unique athletes, you know, what happens is they might miss a practice here or there. It doesn't mean they're home laying around on the couch. They're playing another varsity sport. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So they're obviously working hard, but when they show up and they are playing, it does put the coach in a pickle a little bit, because, you know, oftentimes you've got kids that have been working really hard practicing in your sport, and now all of a sudden they might be down on the depth chart even more so to some of these other kids. So it's a question I've never mastered. It's something that I don't want to say I've been against, because it's not. But it is something that's that even though I'm open minded to, it does take a lot of planning. It does take a lot of scheduling. It's really, really difficult. But I will say that one of my really good friends in coaching and in teaching is Ben Burke at Paint Valley.
Mm-hmm.
He and I have talked openly a long time. And, you know, I think that, you know, what Ben and I have always tried to do, not that we wouldn't be open minded to doing this, but what Ben and I tried to do, Bruce, is long before it even gets to this, is just sit down and talk about the kid. Hey, what do you see the kid in this sport? Where do you see him in this sport? What benefits the kid the most, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of that thing? So it is hard. I know my year at Vinton County, gosh, the name slips my mind. It shows you how old I'm getting. There was a really good athlete, Simmons, maybe. And that's been almost 10 years ago. That was both. But I know there's a lot of coaches that, you know, kind of recruit the track. Remember I said earlier, Jod, about wouldn't it be nice to have some speed off the bench?
Right.
You know, now and then some coaches out there are, hey, why don't you put a uniform on, you know, at least, you know, in tournament for me here, and I'll teach you how to run the bases. You know what I mean? So it's an interesting thing. I think it's really hard sometimes for people to do, but it's like anything else. If you plan and you plan your off season and in season workouts properly, and both coaches feel like there's a need for it and an ability to balance it, it can work. It'd be interesting to get the take on some of the kids and some of the fans' perspective in terms of how this is viewed in the communities. Because I'll be honest, I don't know that much, but I know in the coaching and playing aspect that it can be done. It just takes some planning.
John, you got any other thoughts before we move on?
Well, I do know that when you mentioned Abby Stanforth, that made me think of her sister. And she was the starting shortstop on the Paint Valley team that went to the Final Four a few years ago. And then I know she, I want to say she qualified for state in the pole vault.
Pole vault, yes. Yes.
So, like, if you do it right, it can definitely benefit the kid, and they can really do you know, she might be a special circumstance because of how great of an athlete she was, but you can really, you can do some cool things, and it makes it to where the kid can do everything that they either want to do or know that they can achieve really good things at. So I, like you said, Shane, with a lot of planning, balancing things correctly and working together, between the coaches, it can definitely be done. I do want to say that one year Trevor Thomas up at Westfall kind of tried to get the track coach to let a couple of our guys run because they were so fast. And I think the scheduling just wasn't going to work out. But it was like, man, these kids might be able to do something in track, but they love baseball. So it'd be nice to have been able to get them to go over and do that. But I think just with when the practices are going to be, it makes it really difficult. But I think it's possible. Just you have to be really smart about it, like most things.
John, do you think at Uniota, or I mean, I guess you're going on Uniota, you have a little Westfall to background there. At a bigger school where both programs are pretty good, do you feel like the kid almost doesn't view it as an option as they come into the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th grade? You know, because they look and say, man, there's so much talent there in that baseball program. There's so much talent in the track here. I'm going to have to pick one or the other to go. Or is that not fair? In other words, have you even had very many kids approach you about it over your time at those two schools?
I've really not had any. We do have an eighth grader right now who plays baseball, and it's just the club sport, I guess. But he also does track, and he excels at both. I mentioned it to him the other day in class, and he said he was going to try it next year. So he was going to try to at least do both. You know, so I'm interested to see how that happens when it comes time next year when he's a freshman. But I think just for me, when I was growing up, it was just I knew I was going to be a baseball player. So right. Even when middle school track came around and we didn't have baseball at the time in the middle school, I was like, I'm not doing that. It wasn't even anything I considered. So maybe I think it really could definitely be a maybe could definitely. That's a great phrasing by me there. But I do think it could have something to do with it because if you go, oh man, that's a great baseball program, or that's a great track program, I can probably only do one of these two things. So I do think that that could be there.
See, my problem, Bruce, was the stopwatch when I would run.
Yeah.
And then the measuring of some of my jumps. And so I'm just not so sure that the track coach would have been real interested in me getting involved. That was my issue.
That was the only thing that kept you from being both, I see. Yes.
Other than that, I would have been really good at track.
Oh yeah. If you didn't time things and you weren't actually racing someone, I think I could have won a lot of stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's good to know. That explains a lot, gentlemen, both of you. All right. Hey guys.
Speaking of that, I don't know what made me think of this. We were talking about coaches. Did you realize, John, that my brother Matt and Jeff Miller coached junior high track one year?
Oh man.
Bruce, have you ever heard this story?
No, I'm not. Enlighten me.
They once raced for a Big Mac. they once raced for a Big Mac in junior high track practice. And get Coach Miller. I'm going to butcher the story. So John, if you get a chance to ever get Coach Miller to tell you this story, oh, it's classic. You know how competitive they both were.
Yeah.
Well, Miller was pretty quick back then in his younger days, and my brother pulls the old hammy halfway down the track. Like trying to get the split times. I'm telling you, it's as funny a story as you ever heard. So if you ever get Coach Miller in the right mood, make sure he tells you the Coach Combs versus Coach Miller race for a Big Mac story.
Where did this take place? Was it
right at track practice? That's what I'm saying. Like they're so loaded, like junior high track at Uniota, they're so loaded or whatever. It's not like they're out there, you know. What do they teach? You know, what's Mac Holmes teaching, you know, kid that like, hey, here's what I do when I sprint out of the box. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things that like the story goes, they the two of them in their younger days would occasionally talk a little trash to each other.
And, no, no. You know,
that's the way the story goes. Maybe we could even have them on for show 250 and tell that story.
That'd be fun.
That would be a classic. I know Jeff. He was an assistant coach at Vinton County for a lot of years, but he always impressed me as a very quiet individual. And of course, then there's Matt. Just the opposite. See, I don't know him real well, but if I envision Matt like wearing a string on his head with a stick and a Big Mac out on the stick in front, then he would run fast, I think, if he were able to get that Big Mac. Just knowing what I know about that.
See, the track people accuse me of not talking about track on SBC Sports Talk.
Yeah, well, that is a classic, and we need to hear that. That needs to go down in the archive some way.
That sort of sounds like it could have been like the I almost said Gene Rayburn, but it's not Gene Rayburn. It's the old Battle of the Network Stars.
Oh, yes.
Match race on one of the first episodes. And it is one of the funniest things ever. It's like 2 minutes. And it was the guy from Welcome Back, Cotter. Why can't I think of his name?
Gabe Kaplan.
Yeah, Gabe Kaplan and Robert Conrad were going into a match race to determine whose team won. And like Robert Conrad goes out like smoking a cigarette. All this stuff, and it's just hilarious. And then it's like maybe 5 minutes at most, but it's some of the funniest, like pure 70s pure 70s TV greatness. I'll watch it every few months.
And if you ever get a chance, I know we're digressing here, fans, but stick with us for a second. If you ever get a chance, look up on YouTube John Belushi training for the Olympics as a decathlete. This is Saturday Night Live back 1977, something like that. And he on his training table are little donuts, chocolate covered donuts, and that's what he's advertising for. It's like the Wheaties or something like that. It was back when Bruce Jenner was the decathlete, and we were all familiar with that. And He sits there smoking a cigarette and eating donuts at his training table. So it kind of reminds me of what we would be looking at. Anyways, thank you, friends, for sticking with us. As always, we head next to our Coach's Corner to end the show. Shane and John will continue to look back at what they have learned. And our final segment, again brought to us by North Fork Animal Clinic Boarding and Grooming, 740-773-PETS. Located at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe, open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday 9 to 12, the resort to the doggy daycare, Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, and Saturday and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff appreciate, again, their sponsorship of the show. Gentlemen, we get to Coach's Corner here, always a favorite, seems like, of the fans as they take your wisdom and contemplate it, whether it's wisdom or not. But today the question is, when I was a younger spring coach, I wish someone would have told me blank. When I was a younger spring coach, I wish someone would have told me blank. John, we're going to go to you first this week.
When I was a young warthog.
Yeah, right.
I just wish somebody, I don't know why I didn't notice it so much when I played, but just how quickly the season goes by.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're playing every day. You have a month or so to get ready, and then you're playing pretty much every day for 6 weeks. And sometimes if you don't play, it rains. And
yeah.
Then one of your off days outside just became a game. So then you got to go practice inside. You have to make the most out of every single day. And then sometimes you mess up something on a Wednesday and you don't have a day off until next Thursday. So you have to make sure you're keeping notes on what do we need to work on?
Mm-hmm.
Because you might not experience that for another week, the same thing. So it could be on rundowns or first and third situations in baseball. It could be something that you do right or you just don't run into that issue mm-hmm. again for a week. But you have to remember, okay, we have to really go over this. So it's so important to be organized in the spring because the days you have to work on things are so few and far between that it's not like basketball and football season when you have – like a whole week or at least 2 or 3 days to get ready for games. It's a grind.
Sure.
It's fun, but it's a lot.
Yep. Well, we started at the beginning of the season doing the shows and we're into the third show and we're just about ready to make the turn, so to speak. So
it
is quick. It is quick. Shane, what about you? When you were a younger spring coach, what do you wish someone would have told you?
Well, I really enjoyed John's answer there. And again, I want to try to be as creative as possible throughout the spring to give some of the dynamic outlook to what some of the spring coaches go through. So when I was a younger spring coach, I wish someone would have told me the importance of understanding field maintenance.
Hmm.
I think what happens is, unlike any other sport, I coach golf. Obviously, the golf course wants you to have etiquette and so forth, but it's not like I was out mowing the greens every morning. You know what I mean? If I coach basketball for 20 plus years, you know, rarely, other than maybe sweeping the floor before practice, rarely am I out preparing the gym for Friday's game.
Mm-hmm.
I think football, most schools or most athletic departments have groups of people that – or they'll even invest money into a lot of those things. Now, at Paint Valley right now, I am extremely blessed to have a couple fathers that work tirelessly on the field, just incredible hours on the field. But like, you know, on Friday, so to speak, we happen to be on the road. But, John, as you know, if JV baseball is canceled, the chance of getting it rescheduled is almost next to none.
Yeah.
You know, so we happen to have some different things going on in the afternoon. So I had a little extended plan time due to a little assembly type of variety show they were doing. And I was able to go out and, you know, put an hour and a half in on the field Friday afternoon, and due to the incredible work of one of our fathers there, that we were able to get that JV game played. That's an opportunity that they wouldn't get. So we take a lot of pride. One of the things Ron Allen taught me when I first started coaching is no matter what it takes, you want to try to play 27 games every year. Now, that's a number that's hard to get to, John, because of a lot of things. You know, we'll usually get 24, 25, 26, but, you know, we try our best to get to 27. Well, same way JV. You know, we want our JV team to try to get, you know, 15 to 20-plus games a year, which at a small school is incredible.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It is hard. It takes a lot of planning. It takes a lot of field maintenance. I know – about a week ago, we were trying to look ahead. Okay, when's it going to rain? It's going to rain Friday morning. We're not playing at home on Friday. The JV's not either, but we have a doubleheader Saturday morning. So late Thursday night after the junior high game that's being played on the field, we all stayed to watch junior high, and then we put the tarps out on the field. So you're looking ahead, and there's a lot of planning, a lot of hours, and what you think's an off night's not an off night, and so forth. And I think that's really, really important to understand in terms of trying the best to teach the kids their chores, not just grab a rake and do it, but to really teach them what it is they're trying to do. And I wish that's something I would have paid closer attention to in terms of how to take care of the field. I know we always joke about like Jeremy Ward and how, you know, he loves it. But Jeremy's someone who really taught me a lot about field maintenance. This is stuff to do. This is stuff not to do. And, you know, John, what's so hard is sometimes it's 1 o'clock. The game starts at 5. You may have to do some things that's not great for the field long term, but it's really important for your kids to play at 5. Well, you know, so again, you balance that thing in terms of trying to have a nice facility and so forth. So I know each school, Trevor's talked to me about certain parents he's had over the years that have graduated and moved on. You know, my 20 years, I've had 2 or 3 that's been incredible. And I can tell you that when you have them and when you don't have them, you feel it. Uniota, I know, has had incredible help over the years, and it's hard. So the field maintenance. So, John, I'd love to get your comment here before we get out of here this week, and I'll let Bruce have some contact information time that I cheated him out of last week. But what's your thoughts on field maintenance when it comes to spring coaching compared to any other, really any other coaching job across our other athletic program jobs that we offer at our schools?
I'm not joking. I wrote down 2 things this week, and that was the other, because it's incredibly important. A lot of times we're taking care of the fields ourselves, and having the kids help take care of it, they really gives them some ownership of the field too. And kind of like I said to my JV guys after, I believe it was Monday's game this week, I said, guys, we gotta take care of the field. I said, make sure we get it done as well as possible, because it's supposed to rain on Tuesday, I think. Or no, it wasn't going to this week, but I the way I said it was, if there's a game where we're supposed to be on the road and we don't take care of the field properly, well, if it gets rained out here, we may lose our game on the road because they had to switch locations.
Right.
So that's kind of one way for me to look at it. Was like, okay, well, we got to get the field ready to make sure that we can play, even though we don't play at home. So like when you went back to the, okay, we don't play on Friday, but we do play on Saturday. Well, you can't just kind of blow things off because, oh, we have a day. Well, that might make it unplayable for Saturday.
Right.
So it's just, it's something I didn't realize. My first year up at Westfall was, we had a couple senior parents that just, they worked their tails off, and field was always ready every day when I got there.
Yeah.
You know, and then when I was in school, we had Bob Johnson, took care of UDO's field. I mean, he built the thing. He took care of it for years. And, you know, now we have, Dwayne Potter, at Unioto, who isn't able to be as active as he once was, but he's still there helping show the kids, okay, this is how we need to rake. This is how we need to take care of the field. And it makes it to where you're not going to lose out on more games than you would before. And I think as a player, I didn't like really notice it or really.
Well, you don't. You just take it for granted. I mean, we all did at that age. Yeah, but it is. Yeah.
But also, I think with having the kids do it after is, you know, like I said, with the taking some ownership of it, you know, they can kind of, you know, they all have jobs. They all want to do their jobs right. And after you do it for a week or two, then it starts to be about a pride thing. Like, oh, I made my baseline look immaculate. You know, and it could be like, I know at Westfall we had Zach Wolf. He wouldn't let anyone else rake the mound. If he pitched or didn't pitch, he would go take care of the mound because he wanted it the exact same way. And then he taught it to Alex Stenrock. So for like a 6-year period, because they overlapped a couple years, but
yeah, they weren't bad. Period,
yeah, they had the mound the exact same way all the time. Because that's the way they liked it. Mm-hmm. And that's taking ownership of it. And I think field maintenance is a huge deal, and you don't do it in other sports. Maybe you line the field in soccer. I know for a few years when I coached, the varsity coaches would line the soccer field. But I don't know. I don't really know if it's like that anywhere else.
I didn't realize that. That's interesting.
Yeah. We'll sweep the floor in basketball before practice, but that's pretty much all you can really do, to get it ready. So,
well, we joke all the time. I've heard other coaches, like, you know, Bob McDonald and Wes Spradlin are the two parents I'm talking about right now. And, you know, obviously Mackie's a senior. I'll joke with Mackie all the time. Like, you know, Mackie, you're pretty good at baseball. I hate to lose you, but I hate to see your dad graduate. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? It's one of those things that it is. It's, you know, when I think of the wear and tear on your body, and it's not that big a deal when you're a 25-year-old coach, you know, as you get older and older, mm-hmm. and I'm fat and out of shape, and it takes a toll on you. I mean, it's something that you certainly take for granted when you're younger, but as you get older, you start to, you know, you wish you'd have known more and more about it, and you certainly appreciate people who help. But, you know, Bruce, I know last week I cut you off a little bit here. If you want to pass on some, contact information, our fan feedback this spring's been really, really good.
Yeah, I lost a lot of sleep over the fact that you didn't include me last week. But Shane, I gotta say, the most amazing thing about what you just said was that you weren't in the variety show last Friday at Paint Valley. So I can't imagine that you didn't get up and do a song and dance or something.
I did. I had a song prepared, and then they were needing me outside a little bit, so obviously we get someone to fill in for me. But they said attendance was down just a little bit, but nothing that was going to like destroy the show or anything.
Well, it's not known by a lot of people, but Shane is one absolutely wonderful singer. So
yes.
We'll have to get him to sing something here for us sometime on the show. Gentlemen, as far as fan feedback, we love it. And it really kind of drives the show. It's been all three shows. Well, at least the last two shows have really been driven by fan feedback, and we'd like to continue that. So if you'd like to impart some wisdom or argue with one of our SVC sports nerds, you can do so. Contact Shane by email at admin1svcsportzone.com. On Twitter, his handle is at @svcsportzone. And typically when they tweet, they do so with the hashtag #SVCSportsTalk. Shane has two profiles on Facebook, Shane Combs SVC Sports Zone and svcsportzone.com. Mr. John Bruce can be contacted by email at jbruce1018@yahoo.com. And then on Twitter, his handle there at Coconut Wall Papa. Coconut Wall Papa. And
That might be a 250th show surprise.
Oh, yes. I think that might, well, just, you know, be still my heart.
Maybe. Or I might save it for like my 38th show or something. Big numbers.
Well, we still have to hear that story. But anyway, Derek Webb also, you can get a hold of him on Twitter at DW1509 and his email, DerekW1509@gmail.com. And do you guys see that we're going to have the return of Sir Brock Netter to the area as well?
Yes, that's very exciting. He's always one of my favorites as well. So maybe we'll get him to join us one time before the year lets out.
He's the better looking of the two print guys that I know, Derek Webb and Sir Brock Netter. I've always felt that he was much better looking than Derek. So I'll just say that.
Agreed.
Yeah. Sir Brock Netter, welcome back, buddy.
Yes. Well, guys, I tell you what, fun show. Appreciate all you guys do. Good luck this week, John. I know your JV team's off to a nice start. The JV league's been really competitive, too. Some of the scores, noticing a lot of 4-3, 7-6, you know, just a lot of close games. I look down through the scoreboard there, and that's exciting, too, for the league. So if there's any softball JV going on out there, I'm not getting as much as that. So any coaches listening or any parents listening that could spread the word, I'd love to update that a little bit on the right side of that page. As well. So guys, on that note, we're going to get on out of here. And so until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center and all the other sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the people behind the scenes and at DBK Media Services, and for John Bruce, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.